This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, let the church say amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles today to the book of Obadiah. My brothers and sisters, it's one thing to have your favorite sports team, your favorite football team, your favorite track team, your favorite soccer team. But it never should get to the point where it becomes more about winning than it is about the players on the team. A few weeks ago, we were horrified on Sunday when Matt Castle was hurt and the Kansas City Chiefs fans began to cheer. Took one of his teammates to speak up. It never should be about the player. It should never be about the game as much as it is about the players on the team. This morning, I want to address something that I've been watching happening in the body of Christ that I hadn't seen much improvement of as I've traveled from church to church. And that's this whole idea of self-centeredness. People are becoming more concerned about themselves, more concerned about their agenda, more concerned about their pride issues than caring about the body. And I pray, as I speak with our student body today, that the sin of self-centeredness doesn't show up in our lives, that we're not more concerned about our aid than helping our brothers and sisters out, that we're not more concerned about our needs instead of helping the whole team out, the whole body out, instead of helping the community out. I want to help us to understand that when we're self-centered, that God does have future consequences for us, as he did for the Edomites here in the book of Obadiah, chapter 1. I love to preach all of the verses in Obadiah chapter 1, but because time is limited, let me just highlight four or five verses for you. Verses 10 through 14. It says, because of your violence to your brother Jacob, or you could say Israel, you will be covered with shame, and you will be cut off forever. On the day you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were as one of them. Do not gloat over your brother's day, the day of his misfortune, and do not rejoice over the sons of Judah in the day of their destruction. Yes, do not boast in their day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their disaster. Yes, you do not gloat over their calamity in the day of their disaster. Do not loot their wealth in their day of their disaster. Do not stand at the fork of the road to cut down the fugitives. Do not imprison their survivors in the day of their distress. You see here, as we have this Old Testament minor prophet begins to speak to the Edomites concerning their treatment of their brother. I have to ask us a question. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I more concerned about myself? Am I more concerned about my needs than the needs of my brothers and my sisters who sit with me? He says in verse 10, because of your violence to your brother Jacob. And the Edomites are probably saying, we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything wrong. It had nothing to do with us. You should be covered with shame. You should be ashamed of yourself. And you will be cut down forever. Because you didn't care. Because of your pride. Because it was serving your agenda. On that day, you stood aloof. You stood by and passively watched as things went on. It's not my problem. They're not bothering me. As a matter of fact, the Edomites lived high in the mountains. And they thought they were so high that nobody could ever touch them, that no one could ever invade their territory. On that day when strangers, in verse 11, carried out their wealth, and foreigners entered the gates and cast lots for Jerusalem. Here's the kicker. You acted like you were one of Israel's enemies. You didn't act like family. You didn't act like you were part of the community. You didn't act like you were part of the brotherhood. You didn't even act like you knew that this was God's chosen people. They were so self-centered. They had their own things going. I found eight things that he kind of reminds us of when we fall into this sin of self-centeredness, this sin of pride. There's eight things here, he said, that we must not do, beloved. In verse 12, he says, do not gloat over your brother's day, the day of his misfortune. I pray that we don't gloat when our brothers are suffering their days of misfortune. When they were in exile, when your relatives were in exile in distant lands, I pray that you don't gloat. I pray that there's not a sense of a smirk on our face, a happiness in our soul, that they're going through trouble. And he reminds us here, Obadiah does, that we ought not gloat in our brother's day of trouble. One sneaky suspicion why I think we shouldn't gloat, because you never know when it could be our day that we're in trouble. And we ought to treat others like we want to be treated when we go through our day of trouble. But when you're self-centered, there could be a sense of gloating there, a sense of pride that comes out. Not only does he remind us in verse 12 not to gloat, but he tells us also not to rejoice. In verse 12, you notice that second thing there, do not rejoice over the sons of Judah in their day of destruction. They were rejoicing. They were like happy. They were like, let's throw a party. Why? Because they're going through. And they were rejoicing during their brother's misfortune. As I started with Matt Castle today, his own fans cheered when he was hurt. They act like they wasn't on the same team. They act like they wasn't for the same goal. I'm glad one of the linebackers spoke up and he said, you know what? Winning isn't everything. We have to make sure the players are taken care of too. I hope that we don't become so self-centered till we start thinking winning is everything. When someone's going through their day of misfortune, that we don't rejoice, that there's a smile on our face, a smile on our soul, because our brothers or sisters are going through. There's a third thing that's spoken here in verse 12. In the day of their destruction, yes, do not boast in their day of destruction. I can almost hear the Edomites say, we didn't do anything, but watch this. They spoke arrogantly during the time of their brother's trouble. I pray that in our community, when our brothers and sisters are going through, that we watch our mouths. Because our mouth is a good indication of what's in our heart. And I hope that we don't start speaking arrogantly. You know why the Edomites had to be judged? Way back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And brothers and sisters, with their mouths, they begin to arrogantly and boastfully speak against the children of God. What about you today? When your brothers and sisters are going through, do you watch your mouth? Do you make sure you don't overstate and even fall into the sin of gossip? You know, sometimes I've heard prayer meetings go a little bit too far. We want to share things that we need to pray about, but it can easily turn into a gossip session, arrogantly boasting that that would never happen to me. Obadiah reminds me, and he should remind you this morning, watch your mouth. But we haven't even made it halfway through the list yet. Verse 13 gives us another thing. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their disaster. You know what they were doing? They were plundering in the land of Israel because they were going through so much. They were plundering as they were being led away. They were plundering as foreigners entered the gate. I pray that we're not plundering when people go through their hard times, their difficult times. There was a pastor here in town who was fired from his church, rightly so, because he fell into some grievous sin and his church fired him. And he didn't quite have the money to pay the bills. And so it didn't take long for his bills to become overwhelming, and he lost his house. And they set the pastor's stuff on the front lawn like they do when they're evicting you from your house. Couches and chairs and beds and books. I mean, everything was just on the front lawn. And what grieved me so much is that people stopped by the pastor's house instead of lending a helping hand or somebody saying, let's get a truck. They just plundered through his stuff and took what they wanted. That should never be our posture when people are facing hard times. When they're going through hard times, to think it's our time to plunder. Oh, well, they're not coming back to school. Let me see what books can we find off this shelf. They're not coming back to school. Well, I'll take their bed. They're not coming back to school, so let me use their meal card, their meal plan. That should never be our posture, to try to plunder when people are going through their difficult times. And Obadiah should be saying something to us about this. We can become so self-centered till we can be looking over the spoil to see what's in here for me. What can I take away from this? That should never be our intent. That should never be our attitude when our brothers and sisters go through difficult times. He says, do not enter the gate of my people in their day of disaster. And that's what the Edomites did. They just entered the gates and they plundered. And then in verse 13, yes, do not gloat over their calamity in the day of their disaster. The second thing it tells us in verse 13, and this is number 6 on our list, they seized their wealth when they were suffering such calamity. I mean, they want to take their money. It says in verse 13, and do not loot their wealth in their day of disaster. They plundered. They gloated over their destruction. They seized their wealth while they were suffering such great calamity. You know, as a community, I've seen people, even in the body of Christ, in the greater body of Christ. People are going through difficult times in their churches. People are going through difficult times in their family systems. And they come to church, and they can't share it with anyone because they're nervous. If they share it, somebody may take it out of context, may use it against them. I've seen people going through in their jobs, they can't share it with anyone. And you know, what burdens my heart about the body of Christ, when it's become so toxic that we can't depend on one another, that we can't talk to one another, that we can't share our deepest concerns with one another because we might take advantage of one another. That not being the body of Christ, especially with CIU students, because we're the cream of the crop. Amen. I mean, after all, you graduate from CIU, you're God's best, right? Right? At least we should be. God should be able to depend on us. But when we start having the attitude of the world, taking advantage of one another, that doesn't bring honor and glory to our great God. They gloated in their destruction. They seized their wealth. This money ain't going to do you any good, so I think I'll take it from you. That not be our attitude in the body of Christ. A couple of more things here in verse 14. He says, do not stand at the fork of the road and cut down their fugitives. It's this whole idea that they stood at the crossroads, killing those who tried to escape. Killing those who tried to escape. They just cut down the Israelites who were trying to escape. God's chosen people. Instead of aiding them, they cut them down. I've looked back over my ministry. I've been serving the Lord in full-time service for 21 years. And I started asking myself some questions. Has there been anybody I've cut down that tried to get out? Instead of aiding them, I hurt them. You ought to ask the Lord, Lord, help me that I may not cut anyone down that's trying to get out. I mean, literally, they were killing them. They were so brutal. I mean, it's one thing to be passive, but it's a deeper level to be active in your brother's destruction. Some say it was because of pride. Some say it was because of jealousy. I say it's because of self-centeredness. This thing was deep, y'all. It went back so many years. Since God chose you, I'm going to do you in. And Obadiah says, hey, God's going to get you for how you treated your brother. And God won't let us go on how we treat our brothers and sisters as well. I'm not doing anything. Find yourself on that list. If it's not gloating, you may be looting. If you're not looting, it may be the arrogant talk, the speech that we have, because we don't even realize that we're on the same team, that we have the same Heavenly Father. They stood at the crossroads, and literally, the text say here they cut down the fugitives. They were aiding the enemy out, acting as if they were farmers. There's another thing in this text in verse 14. He says, and do not imprison the survivors in their day of distress. You know, the Edomites, not only were they not passive and cut some of them down, but they caught some of the survivors. They captured them and they turned them over to the enemy. I mean, how bad can you be to get so bad until you turn your brother over to the enemy? In our church on Sunday morning, we make a big deal out of USC versus Clemson, and we kind of go back and forth over the weeks. We kind of make a joke, you know, to see who's going to be the superior team of the year. And of course, we all know that it's USC. But some of the Clemson fans are obviously offended when we go over this portion of the service because they're on God's second best team. But you know what? One thing that we come together on, we never want to see anyone hurt. We want to do it in good fun. And we want to make sure that we never take it so far to hurt one another. Who am I preaching to today? You may be sitting here, God brought me here to CIU to study and not worry about anybody else's business. I don't think he gives us a new dispensation while we're here to just be concerned about ourselves. While we're here, we should still be concerned about the body of Christ. I don't think he gives us a new covenant while we're here that you just make good grades and I'll make sure you have wonderful ministry opportunities when you leave here. I don't think that's the idea, folks. I think The idea here is the meltdown self. And I say, Lord, how can I fit into this community to be a blessing to this community, to help my brothers and sisters out? You know, in the New Testament, I was reading scripture the other day and I ran across Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. But those three or four verses that's above it reminds me that there should be unity in the body. Not uniformity, because we're not all the same. But there should be unity in the body. And it comes out in the attitude of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, how are we doing with this? That person that you may be talking bad about as God's chosen, God won't let that sin go unpaid. You need to be concerned about your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. When I was a student here, there was a young man in the class with me. I was privileged because my parents paid for my college education. And I praise God for good parents. And my dad took care of everything. And I had the opportunity to work while I was in school. And I had plenty of money most days. And I hear people praying about their tuition and having enough money to come back here to CIU. But I used to say to myself, that's not my problem. That's their problem. And I remember one of my friends came up with a need. He needed about $1,800 to return to school. And I looked in my checking account, and I had $1,800. But I wasn't burdened enough for my friend. I closed my heart toward his need. And, you know, I sat there and watched him. He prayed and asked God, Lord, open the door. And folks, I knew God put it on my heart to pay his tuition. But I'm thinking to myself, he should work like I work. He should get two or three jobs. What is he doing in the library all the time? Get you a job, dude. Lord telling me to pay his tuition. And I didn't do it. I didn't pay his tuition. I kept that money for myself. And I remember thinking the day he packed up his bags to go home because he couldn't stay. I remember thinking, man, you could have done something about that. But I didn't. Didn't even open my mouth. And I remember I stood out there and prayed with him. And he said, maybe I can come back next semester when the money gets low. And I said, yes, brother, the Lord will see you through. As I helped him put his last box in his car. You know, somebody that's used to having money like I was at that time, I'm broke now, so don't ask me for no money after chapel. Just want to clarify that. But I stood out there and I helped him put his last box in. And for the rest of that semester, it seemed like my world turned upside down. I lost that $1,800. I didn't gamble now. Don't get any ideas here. But I lost that $1,800 plus that I had in the bank so quickly. And I felt like I lost it because I did not honor God. I couldn't wait for the next semester. And I prayed, Lord, send this brother back so I can make it right. And when he got back the next semester, I said, brother, how much do you? And he needed a lot more than $1,800. I said, Lord, you should have sent somebody else to meet this need. But the Lord allowed me to be a blessing to him by paying most of his tuition that semester. And I said, Lord, thank you for the privilege of taking care of my brother. Now, there's someone in here today, you haven't been doing a good job. You haven't been a good steward of taking care of your brothers and sisters. Let this be a gentle reminder that we're not here by ourselves. You don't have a special covenant. You don't have a special dispensation to just worry about you. You have a God-given obligation to be concerned about your brothers and sisters. Lord, thank you for our time today. Thank you for Obadiah, because he reminds us, Lord, that we should not be passive and not be a plunderer and lewd and speak unwisely about our brother, especially your chosen people. I pray as we sit in these seats in chapel beside our brothers and sisters, that never becomes about us and us and our world, but it becomes about the community at large. Lord, maybe someone in here can help someone else with their tuition. Put it on their heart. Maybe someone can be a good friend and listen to their brothers and sisters. Put it on their heart. But Lord, use this time today to really strengthen our community, that we may be better in the days ahead. Because I believe that your word teaches that we're better together. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.